angels can see part of Allah, meaning that no one can see the whole Allah. The whole Allah is beyond anybody. No one can know everything about Allah. Nobody can see part of whole Allah. But you can only see a face of Allah. You can see a face. That's why in the Day of Judgment, Allah tells to the believers who got A++++ that you can look at my face day and night. And that's the most pleasure in Jannah. Let me tell you something. If the people in hellfire are allowed to see Allah's face, they will not feel the fire. And they will feel pleasure. Do you believe it? They will be full of pleasure if they get to see Allah when they are in hellfire. And that's why the worst punishment for the bad guys is that they don't get to see Allah. They don't get to see Allah. That's the first thing. Okay, so 99 is what we need, what's relevant to us. And that's what we need to know Allah by our brains. Somebody, a lot of atheist people. Whenever you talk about Allah, you always come to the atheist people. So you say, if there is somebody up there, let him touch my back. Or they say, I am from the show me state. Show me state. What is show me state?
Prove that Allah actually exists.
Huh? You're right there, but what is the meaning of show me state? You know, I'm not blaming you. When somebody told me about, an atheist guy told me about that, I am for them the show me state. I thought there is a state called show me. And that's the state number 51. Okay? It doesn't take me a second to realize that that was a dumb understanding. Show me state means show me God. Show me. I want to see God. I want to see Him. With my eyes, not with my brain. With my eyes, show me God. They say man created God, not God created man.
Why? How does that even
mean? It doesn't make sense.
They say man created...
Oh, the concept of God.
Perfect. You got it.
They just started thinking that, oh, there's just some random God that made us and we should worship them.
Yes. So we created the idea of having a God. Okay? God didn't create us, we created God. Do you understand what we mean by we created God?
So stupid.
Yeah. No, that's a smart argument. It's like,
yes.
We created God, God didn't create us. Because there's no God.
It is.
No, it's that we came up with the concept of God, essentially is what they're saying.
They're saying that there is no God. We've not literally, like, physically created Him, but, like, we made a concept in our minds that, oh, there is this God and we should worship. That's what they're saying.
They're like purple platypuses. We know they don't exist, but because I just said it, it technically now exists because I came up with it.
Like in your head.
There are two worlds.
If you just imagine the purple platypus.
There are two worlds that exist. Okay, from our perspective, there are two worlds. There is a word called the seen world, and there is a word called
the unseen.
Looks like you're going to lose some tickets. Unseen. Ah, okay. So there is seen world and there is unseen world. What do you mean by seen world and unseen world?
The seen world is like where we live in right now, and the unseen world is like angels and demons and Allah, heaven and hell.
And the people in the after death, in the grave, and all of these things. You're right. That's right. Allah belongs to the six pillars of faith belong to what? I'm talking about the six. What did you say? Just said.
I just said unseen world.
Unseen world. The six pillars of faith belong to seen or unseen?
Seen.
Unseen.
Unseen. Now let me give you the difference between. I mean, before we get there, I make a claim, like the guy who said I am from the show me state. I make a claim that anything that we can't see using our five senses don't exist. So what they call it, what you see is what you get. This is wise, the short is wisek, I think. Wisek, what you see is what you get. So take the first letter. What you, so W-I-C-S, is what you get. wasted week, something like that. That's short. As what you see is what you get. There is a very strong argument against that. You have things that you can't see. Huh?
Like you can't see your family on the other side of the world, but they still like
But you can see. Talk to them. We're talking about you can't feel them using what? Five senses. Anything that you can see that's using five senses belongs to the word of seen. Yes.
You can't see your brain being
Some people don't.
Oh yeah. There's that kid that wanted had a atheist teacher.
Oh, yeah.
So the teacher was saying, you see the chair?
Oh, yeah, I heard
yes.
This one.
Yeah, you'd heard this
I
one? You see the chair? Yes. Then it exists. You see the desk? Yes. Then it exists. You see God? No. Then he doesn't exist. So
you
there's that.
See the air, you?
So there is God. No, but you can feel the air.
No, you can't.
Remember.
Not really.
No,
not really.
No. You can feel it.
Yeah, you can.
But
wind, you
so the kid wanted to make the teacher look stupid. So he said, do you see the desk? They said, yes, then it exists. Do you see the chair? Yes, then it exists. Do you see the brain of the teacher? No, then it doesn't exist. That's the joke that she was like pointing to.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Okay, now, the unseen world. What's the difference between to see, to know, and to believe?
We did this last week. To know is that like you have physical proof, and to see is to, I mean, to believe is like you just believe with your heart. So if we could like see Allah, we don't believe.
That becomes to know. There is a difference between to know means something that can you feel using your five senses, right? Your five senses. Okay, all right, but let me give you an example. The germs. Before they invent the microscope, could they see germs?
Yeah.
Could they think about germs?
Yeah. Not really.
Not really, yeah. So, did they exist?
Yeah.
Yes. They exist. Okay? There are so many things that we can do exist that we can't see. Can we see the atoms?
No.
They
can technically, right? Like this is made of atoms.
You can physically look at material and say these materials are made of atoms. That's fine.
But you can't see the individual.
Yes, that's true. So now let me ask you a different question. It happened that, or let me ask you what do you think about this? It happens that this is India, and this is New York. So we're saying that, a boat by itself travels from India to New York.
Did
the same.
Recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, a boat traveling from India to New York, and this boat doesn't have crew, doesn't have any human guidance, remote control, or anything like that, just by itself. And it arrives in New York at the exact time. So, exact date or time of departure. If you put here exact time of departure, exact time of arrival.
So they're both the same day, same time?
No, this is, let's say, tomorrow, the flight schedule. Let's say tomorrow at 5 o'clock. And then this is like next month and the 30th after at 6 o'clock. What I meant is that according to the schedule, this will leave India at the scheduled time, arrive to New York at the scheduled time, and it took the right path. So, right departure time, right arrival time, right path, or correct.
So, estimated?
Huh?
Estimated arrival
time? I'm saying not estimated. It arrived exactly on time.
Like on time, what they thought?
Supposed to.
So, that's estimated, right?
Well, I'm saying here, that they arrived exactly, not estimated. Can you write it down? Mm-hmm. And you can draw it as well. Huh?
Yes. They thought that, like, they estimated that it's going to arrive at, let's say, November 30th, like 5 o'clock, and it arrived at November 30th, 5 o'clock.
Perfect. Which means they scheduled the time of arrival, and it arrived exactly at the same time. Tell me about any flight that can do that. Is the flight can depart on the exact time and arrive at the exact time?
It never departs on the exact time.
Okay, there's always what, plus or minus, right?
Plus.
Always plus or minus, maybe 10 minutes early, maybe 10 minutes later, but it is plus or minus, okay? Now, if I tell you that this boat that traveled from India to New York doesn't have a captain, doesn't have a crew, and doesn't have any human remote control thing. How likely this to happen?
Never.
It's not impossible. It is beyond the impossible. Way beyond the impossible, right? Can't happen at all. The one who tells you that is right, a liar. Okay? You can say it's hard to win the lottery, but there is 1 in 50 million a chance that you win the lottery. Now we're talking about this boat, it's zero chances. Okay. All right. So what if I tell you, if instead of using the boat, I'm going to use the sun. What is the departure time of the sun? Like, let's say the sunset, the sunrise. We have schedule with sunrise, right?
Yeah.
And this schedule would show when sun rises and when sun
sets.
How late is the sun when it rises, and how late is the sun, how late or early the sun when it departures, which is sets, and how late or soon or early when it arrives, which is sunrise. Is it exact time or not exact time?
Does the sun rise at the same time?
The same calculated time?
No.
The sun, let's say for example, January 5th. The sun would rise January 5th in here, in Santa Clara. The sun would rise exactly at the exact calculated time. How about if the sunset, it is what? Exactly at the exact what? Calculated time, right? Now, does the sun go into the same path or change its path when it's rotating?
Same path
or same orbit, if we say same orbit. So the sun is driving itself, departing in the exact time better than any airlines, arriving at the exact time better than any airlines, and traveling the same way without captain, without crew, and without remote control. Do you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that a boat will be able to do that on its own?
No.
Do you believe that the sun is like the boat, right? Even the sun is harder than the boat to control. Boat you can control, sun you can't control. Is it possible for the sun to come 5 minutes late?
Yeah.
The sun arrived 5 minutes late?
No.
Is it possible for the sun to set, okay, early, 3 minutes earlier?
No.
And does the sun change the orbit every time or go to the same orbit?
Same.
Can this be done by itself?
No.
No captain, no crew? Exactly. So there is someone controlling it. I mean, I kept asking this guy, where did we come from? He said, from lower species. So I said, okay, where are these lower species come from? He said, from lower species. And he kept going lower species. So I said, okay, that first species that we started with, okay, where did it come from? He said it just existed.
Oh my goodness.
It just existed all the time. It's just like it was never not there. So it was always there, and that created, you know. It is stupid.
That's not science.
Yeah, and it is it's illogical.
Yeah, it's not supported by reason or logic.
Or logic, yes. So the people who deny the existence of God are really sort of like, I don't want to say, oh, what am I going to say here? I don't want to say stupid, but unreasonable.
They're kind of unreasonable.
Yes. Tell me about reasons. Why? Why did people have to be unreasonable and deny the existence of God? What made them do that? Huh? Okay, what was the motive, okay, that made them, okay, be unreasonable and say God is not there?
Maybe they feel like God is a waste of their time, they don't need to worship.
Yes, you're getting there, yes?
No, it's part of the test, like, to have people who don't believe in Allah, so,
Yeah, but, go ahead.
You can't see God, it's not like he's doing anything in your life.
Okay.
Oh,
huh?
Maybe your life is miserable, so you think that there's no God there to help you with it.
I'll tell you why. Because religion, from a religion, every religion tells you this is God and worship this God. And when you say worship God, then they ask you to do things. So if I tell you worship Allah, then I'm asking you for a lot of things, including make shahada, 5 times prayer, zakah, charity, and hajj. Okay. So these are obligations, right? So, and sometimes there are conflicted statements in the Bible, for example. The Bible says, kill your enemy and love your enemy, just as an example. So those people, because they have seen corruption in the people who represent religion, and because they did believe that religion is misused, okay? So they disbelieved in all religions together, okay? So they wanna say, okay, there's no God, and don't ask me to fast. Don't ask me to make hajj. Don't ask me to pay charity. Don't ask me to do this. Don't ask me to do that. Okay? There are people who call agnostic. Agnostic meaning that they don't say God exists, and they don't say God doesn't exist. They just say we don't care about God. We don't care. We don't care if he exists or not. Okay? So that's a step less than atheist, which is to say, we don't care if he exists or not. My life is, I'm having a good life, okay, without God being part of it. So I'm not, you ask him, you believe in God? He say, I don't believe and I don't disbelieve. But I don't want to think about it, or I don't want to be bothered about it. Okay? So, because religions has been abused, people prefer to be atheist. Because religions have been abused. There is a... You know how there were a lot of slaves during the Roman Empire time? So the slaves were angry because they see the masters, okay, having all the money and all the food and everything and living a life of luxury, and they live a life of trash. Okay? So are they angry or happy? Angry. Do they want to rebel?
Yeah.
Yes. Now, they... Go ahead. Yes. So, now they are angry. Now they want to rebel against their masters. So, they needed something to calm them down. To calm them down. What was that thing? They told them that in the life to come, the poor people, all poor people and slaves will go to Jannah, and all lords and masters will go to hell.
Oh, wow.
Did you hear the statement that the rich people will go to Jannah only if the camel can go through the needle opening? Did you hear that?
Kind of.
Okay. So basically in the Bible it says that if you can get a camel to go through the needle opening, okay, then rich people will go to Jannah.
Oh,
Who made that? Definitely Allah didn't say that. But who made it? The people of religion made it. So that what? The slaves would become what? Happy. The slaves would say, okay, okay. We're just going to accept being slaves in this life for the exchange of? The next life. Okay? See the smart? Who made that? The church people who made it up. So it became like called slave mind management system. It becomes what? Slave mind management system. They make sure that the slaves what are not angry and the slaves are content. And
so they keep working and their economy builds.
Isn't yes. that like that Indian system? What was that called again?
The caste system.
Caste, thank you. Caste
system. Caste system, yes.
The way they hold them down is we're like, oh, do your duty in this caste for this life, and then the next life you'll get good karma and you'll be reincarnated to a higher level.
Yeah, but they actually believe that. They didn't just make it up to make the slaves work.
Well, not the slaves, but the people themselves.
Who made it up? Who made it up?
The people.
Yeah, but they didn't just...
The religion people, the people who represent the religion, made it up to make them... You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but they didn't make it... They didn't just make that up to please the slaves or anything.
They did it to keep people to their position so that way people in power could keep it, and then the lower people won't want to rebel, that they'll obey the society.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, they did. Let me ask you a question. Is it true that rich people will go to hell and poor people?
Not necessarily.
So then it has to be made up. Right?
Yeah, obviously it's made up, but they okay. didn't just make it up for the slaves.
Just
they,
a second.
They believed in it.
Just a second. Who made it up?
The
people that represents the religion, like the priests and popes, something like that. Or the people who represent the religion, right? Priests and all of that. Now, the question is, why did you do it? You're saying not only for that purpose. Maybe. But it was made up.
Obviously, they didn't just one day wake up and say, oh, we just made up this rule. It probably evolved over time.
Yes, but here's how they did it. The Vedas, I think is what it was called, Vedas?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I took World History last year. I can't remember much. You know, the Vedas, they came up with this holy scripture for how they would run their society. And over time, they split up because people didn't want to obey their rules and laws, right? So then eventually, they came up with the caste system as a way to prevent this rebellion and force the people to obey their society. That they are born in these levels, and they have to live out these positions or castes in life, and then that way they'll get good karma, or good deeds, essentially, so that when they go to the next
life, they get higher.
They'll be, yes, all the way up until they reach this enlightenment sort of thing and become bodhisattvas.
Yeah,
and then they can move on to be one with the universe.
Yeah, because they believe like everyone started out low and then
yeah.
everyone went high.
So, does Islam say that?
The
no, Islam says, thankful rich and patient poor both go to Jannah. Impatient poor and non-thankful rich, they go to hell. Okay? There is nothing about being... You can be a slave and go to Jannah. You can be a master and go to Jannah. You can be a slave and go to hell. You can be a master and go to hell. It all depends on your deeds, not your acceptance of certain status or something like that. Guess what the slaves were smart. So they said... The reply was... They say, pie in the sky... Bye-bye. The response of the slaves was, pie in the sky, bye-bye. Meaning that you're promising me a pie in the sky. The Jannah is pie in the sky. You're promising me a pie in the sky. You know what? I don't believe in it. Bye-bye. You see? They told them. The slaves are not stupid. The slaves figured it out. So they said they are promising us a pie in the sky. So they said, pie in the sky, bye bye, see you later. And that's why part of the reason people became atheists. Because they see that the religion, the people of the religion, not the religion itself, the people who represent the religion is taking advantage of them and telling them to be. Go ahead.
Same with other empires, the churches would try to get all the money and they'd hog all the luxury and people would be like, what the heck? And they'd get pissed off. And then
exactly. So because the religions has been corrupt,
Language.
What?
Language. Language.
Okay. Because religions got corrupt, people became atheists. Now you understand why people are becoming atheists? Because they feel that religions is taking advantage of them in a very unfair way. Like, for example, in Islam, how am I going to take, if I'm a sheikh, how am I going to take advantage of you? Actually, the sheikhs are the lowest income. The lowest income is for the sheikh. Whatever you do, you're always making money more than the sheikh makes money. So the sheikh is not benefiting from being sheikh. You know that? And the sheikh can't ask you for anything to himself. They all ask you. Zakah for Allah. Prayer to Allah. La ilaha illallah to Allah. You see what I'm saying? Okay. So when people felt that the others are trying to take advantage of them, okay, using by corrupting the religion to work to their favor, to the favor of the rich guy and the religious people, they said there's no God. There is no pie in the sky. There's no bye-bye if you tell me, bye, see you later. There's no pie in the sky. There is no. Okay, why did they say that and become unreasonable? They say it's because those guys are trying to corrupting the religion to take advantage of them. So most of atheists, they become atheists not because they really, really from the bottom of their heart believe that there is no God or there's any logic behind. It's just because of others, people of religion, trying to take advantage of them. So why would I let you worship, why would I ask you to worship this object? This object is not God, okay? But why do I want you to worship this as a middle god? You know middle gods? Mm-hmm. Okay, why do I want you to worship this god? Because this god is an object that doesn't talk or do anything. I speak on the behalf of this idol. And I make demands. In the name of this idol, pay to the church $100, for example. In the name of this idol, pay to the temple 50 camels. In the name of this idol, vote for this guy. In the name of this idol, don't vote for this guy. In the name of your idol, make your daughter marry this person. In the name of the idol, let your son marry this girl. They make demands in the name of the idol.
Huh? Well, the paper inside.
There was a paper inside?
Yeah.
There's a lot of paper.
Oh, they are still there, huh?
I thought you were going to talk about the idol
booboo. What?
You got the idea? So they became atheists not because they really have a hard time believing in God. It's very easy to find reasons to believe in God than to find reasons not to believe in God. But they went to this extreme to get rid of all those people who are asking them and making demands in the name of this religion. Okay? We make demands in Islam, we make demands in the name of Allah. Man of Allah, you know, you want to do this for the sake of Allah, we'll do it. If you don't do it, nobody's taking advantage of you in Islam. Even the charity goes to who? The poor. The La ilaha illallah goes to who? Allah. Okay? La ilaha illallah Muhammad. Praying 5 times, am I going to be benefit?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Like me, make money out of you or take advantage of you? Am I going to take advantage of you when I ask you to fast?
No.
Is it me taking advantage of you when I ask you to go for Hajj?
No.
No. It is basically, I'm not taking advantage of you. Your relationship with God, it's between you and Allah, direct. Do we have middle gods in Islam? It's direct relation between you and God. Saying that we have middle gods is an insult to Allah. Why? Because it means that Allah is not aware of what He created. He doesn't know about us. He doesn't, what's your name? Maham. He doesn't know about Maham. He doesn't know about her. He doesn't know about me. We're too little. We need a middle god to vouch for us, like to represent us. But he doesn't know about us at all. And this is insult to Allah. This is a low image of Allah. And any low image of Allah is shirk. Is what? Shirk. Okay. So, before they invented the microscope. Yeah, I talked about that. I'm sorry. I talked about that. About... Okay. In the unseen world, oh, by the way, we wanted to talk about to believe and to know. If this is you, and there are two rooms, room one has wine, and room two has furnace. Okay? And you're in the middle here. Then I give you a proposal. I tell you, okay, listen to me. If you spend one day here, you spend the next day here. If you spend one day drinking wine, then you have to stay one day in the furnace. And the furnace is right next to you. You can hear the voice of the furnace. You can touch it. You can see the heat, right? Okay? What would you do? Anybody, what would you do?
I wouldn't go at all.
Why?
Because I don't want to be in the furnace.
Why do you believe in the furnace?
Because it's right there.
You said that you're wrong. You don't say why did you believe. Because the furnace here is to know, not to believe. Okay. You can see that? Do you understand the logic?
No.
So, if nobody will ever be out of his mind or out of her mind to do that, because that's to know. But if you can't see the furnace, just like this life, you say one day wine, and the next day in hellfire. Okay? Because there would be another day in the day of judgment where you're being judged for drinking wine, and you go to hellfire. You won't do that unless you believe. Did we speak before about the wisdom of Allah not showing Himself to us?
Yeah.
And we spoke about the wisdom of Allah not making us see the unseen world. We talked about that, right? So keep that in mind. Okay. Now when we... when we talk about the punishment of the grave. Allah, the punishment on the grave or the reward in the grave... is it seeable by us? Do we see it? Do you know that our body is limited? Our body is limited to the five senses only in this life. Do you know in the next life you will see things that way much more than what you see now? In other words, your body is limiting you. The body is limiting your soul. We have body and soul, pair. We are pair, body and soul. The only unit is Allah. But we are what? Pair. Look at me. We're pair. Okay? So, we are pair. Body and soul. The body is limiting the soul. The body is making the soul not able to see the unknown. The unseen. The body is not letting the soul see things that are happening in the other part of the world. The body is not letting the soul see what is happening in Africa 1,000 years ago. The body is limiting the soul. Let me give you a surprise here. When your body dies, the soul is free. The soul then will get to see things that you were not able to see here, which are the unseen world. Allah, His angels, and the life after death, and life after, and the day of judgment, and all of these. You would be able to see it then. It would be to know. Now, is there a chance then to believe?
No.
it becomes to know. So there is no chance to believe, which is what you require to do in this life. If I ask you, you know life in the grave is like what? Reward, go ahead.
Life in the grave is if you're a good person, you get to like there's like a sort of like a window to Jannah.
That's right.
Jannah and smell Jannah and stuff. But then if you're a bad person, you have punishments in your grave.
That's right. Let me ask you a question. Do you see dreams?
Yeah.
How come you see dreams when your eyes are closed?
It's in your brain. You can visualize it.
It's in your brain, exactly. Do you know that nightmares and the punishment in the grave is a sort of a nightmare that feels real? Do you get nightmares? Yes. You're having nightmare and I'm watching you. Do I see you having a nightmare?
Unless I'm like turning your...
For example. But normally, or generally speaking, I don't see the nightmare that you're seeing. Then the question is, your body is right here. Your body is sleeping in a pillow, nice pillow and nice mattress. However, your soul is experiencing the nightmare. Okay? Mm. So the life, the punishment of the grave is like an awful nightmare that feels real. Feels real. So when they say if you don't pray, the bald snake will come and crush your bones. Crush your bones. This is not going to happen physically, but it's going to happen in a nightmare. And you know what? You will feel that this nightmare is true. So if I bring you in this life and crush your bones, this is how it is going to feel. And it's not going to be physical, but it's going to be felt. You got it? So the body, the soul is now free. Another thing. Do you remember the three questions they ask when people go to the grave?
Yeah.
Yes. How come you can't lie?
Because Allah makes you not lie.
Because it's your soul.
Your soul? Huh?
Your
soul is answering the question. Let me ask you, in order to make lies, do you need to be intelligent or not?
Yeah.
Huh?
You have to be like intelligent to lie, but then you don't really have a brain. And it's like,
yes, that's what I'm getting at. In order for you to lie, you need to be clever and you need to be intelligent. And not only that, but also to have a good memory, right? Because you can't conflict yourself. So today you tell your mother that I was in the school. Tomorrow you tell your mother that I was in Pizza Hut. So your mother is going to say, but yesterday you told me you're at school, not at Pizza Hut. So they say, if you're a liar, you better have a good memory. Okay? So you need the brain for remembering, and you need the brain for creating the wicked plan. Do you know that they put sensors on the brain to see where the wicked stuff coming from? It's coming from this front part of the brain. This is when you have evil thoughts. It's coming from here, or even plans. It's coming from here, from this front, right here. Okay? So, what happened to your brain when you die? The brain is dead, right? Do you have a brain available for you to lie?
No.
No. So basically, the soul is going to reveal its condition. The soul is going to say, I don't know. Or the soul is going to say, the soul is going to reply. Now, how about... So we're still here at the punishment on the grave. There's another punishment that there will be an angel of punishment. Ugly looking, of course. That's going to hit you in the head. And you're going to sink to the core of the earth and bounce back. 70 years going in, 70 years going out. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Yes. But now, question, does this happen physically? Mm. It happens in a nightmare that you
can feel
as real. You feel it's real. You feel it's just like me in this life doing this to you. It will feel exactly the same way. Do you believe that? When you kill someone, Allah kills you. In the grave or the day of judgment. Okay? So, would Allah kill you, like physically kill you, or you're dead already? Or Allah would make you feel the pain of being killed. Just like exactly the way it happened in this life, it will feel, for killing a person, it will feel the same. You go through the death, the painful death. You kill 10, you go for 10. You kill 500, you go for 500. And you keep going like that. Okay? So, once I was asked by a friend of mine, he said, we were in a funeral. He said, he bought me and he said, look at the body in the box. Flowers and perfume and everything looks nice. Do you want to tell me that this guy is being punished? So I started explaining to him that if your wife is having a nightmare, would you know? Would you see that? So that's why this guy is in a totally different world. What you see is a body. Forget about the body. The soul is way there doing a lot of nightmares or good, sweet dreams. Rewarding the grave is to have sweet dreams that feel real, which is a window to Jannah, just like you said. That feels real, beautiful, joy feelings that feels real. Okay? All right. I think we're done. We'll continue, inshallah, next week.